Chapter 8. Stupid Shit I Did at Work. Gunfire in the Evidence Room. How I didn't get shot in the evidence room in 2008 is amazing. I had taken a Kimber 45 caliber gun off a Chicago-based gang member after a man with a gun call. While placing the bullets that I removed from the weapon into the evidence locker, I accidentally dropped the manila envelope of loose rounds. As the envelope hit the ground, each and every round went off at my feet, disintegrating the envelope, filling the room with gun smoke, and leaving numerous ricochet marks on the floor and walls. How I didn't get shot was a miracle. My guardian angels were looking out for me that day. I felt my legs for bullet holes and blood and waited for the hot rush to hit me. I was in complete disarray, with burning bits of envelope all over my uniform and in my hair. Lieutenant Lenkart had heard or seen the gunfire and came through the door. "Are you okay?" he said. I told him, "They just blew up." "Pepper spray, anyone?" SWAT training, Fort Custer, Michigan. The trainer had brought some brand new pepper spray. "Who wants to test it?" he asked. I said, "Hoo-ah, I'll do it." Boy, was that a stupid idea. I took a face full of pepper spray, and the pain was incredible. I literally took off running into the woods and was trying to find a stick to impale myself upon. That's what the pure panic of my first encounter with pepper spray did to me. An hour later, after riding on the hood of the training Suburban driving up and down the range road, I finally found some small relief. The moving vehicle was the only wind that could be generated on a hot summer day. Pain, pain, and more pain. The pepper spray remnants of pain last for hours. This action was stupid. But hell, we all had to take a shot. And looking back, it surely helped me in real-world environments, as I was pepper sprayed two more times while taking suspects into custody. With each incident, you become more immune to the effects of the spray and can fight through the pain to get the job done. All officers need to experience the pain of their own less lethal weapon systems so that if they're exposed or these weapons are used against them, they're not taken off guard. They know how it feels and can fight through the pain to make an arrest. They have personal knowledge of the effects on other people. So, it wasn't stupid. It was a great training episode. All officers should experience a face full of pepper spray during training so that they can fight through it when it happens to them on the street and can properly decontaminate their suspects who experience the same pain. One time that I was sprayed in the face occurred when my partner tried to stop a juvenile suspect who was kicking out the back windows of the patrol car. It happened again after I arrested a suspect for retail fraud at a liquor store when he decided he wasn't going to jail and tried to flee from me. Well, that pepper spray not only found its way directly into the face of the suspect, but did a perfect rebound right back into my eyes. Fight through the pain. Hell, I heard my own voice yelling at myself as I struggled to regain control of the suspect. Choking on French fries. A wonderful night of overtime party patrol nearly ended with me choking to death at Station 6. Officer Gary Goddard and I wheeled into the station for a quick break. And what did I spot on the stove? Freshly cooked French fries of the best kind, from a firefighter. I took a leak, refilled my coffee, scooped up a handful of the wonderful delights, and headed out the front door toward our patrol car. I shoveled a handful of fries into my mouth. They clearly had no intention of going into my stomach, but rather my lungs. These were not your soft, chewy fries either. Oh no, they were the hard and crispy type. With complete blockage of my airway, I dropped my coffee on the ground and ran to the driver's side door, opened it, and rolled down the window. Flinging my body through the opening of the window, I slammed my abdomen down onto the edge of the door, and out flew the hard French fries onto the ground. In a panic, I looked at Gary, who was reading a newspaper and glaring at me over his glasses. He asked, "Are you all right?" I said, "Gary, I was choking. I could have died." Gary, in his quick wit, replied, "Jesus, man. Well, don't die. We have tickets to write and people to arrest." With that, I sat back down, wiped the tears out of my eyes, began laughing, and away we went to ruin someone's day. nearly crashing into and killing my partner. Sweetwater's Donut Shop was a popular hangout for a midnight shift PSO to grab a cup of coffee. Yes, and a donut. I was field training with Officer Karen Rivard. We met up with Officer Chuck Dollinger and decided to drive to Sweetwater's to grab a cup of coffee and take our 20-minute break away from the realities of life. For whatever stupid reason, Chuck and I decided it would be a great time to fly down the street in our 1992 Chevrolet Caprice Cruisers powered by a Corvette-type engine. Yes, I'm sure we were speeding. Chuck, being the traffic enforcement guru that he was, just couldn't resist the one headlight violator that was approaching him. I had been following closely behind Chuck as we sped along, and I was distracted as I talked to my rookie officer next to me, explaining to her the finer things of life. Chuck decided to pull a U-turn directly in front of me, but his idea of a U-turn was to veer to the right and then make a sharp left turn, since he had four lanes to maneuver in. Well, not such a good idea when there was a distracted driver, me, right behind him. In an instant, I saw Chuck's body sideways in front of my headlights as I was speeding toward his driver's door. I managed a quick jerk of my steering wheel to the right, with no brakes, and a counter steer back to the left, followed by a hard brake. Jesus Christ, how the hell I didn't kill him, I'll never know. We turned around slowly and pulled in behind Chuck on his traffic stop. Chuck, I almost killed you, holy fuck! With a Chuck Dollinger laugh, he replied, Nah, I saw you, you are good. Well, off to coffee we went. Near riot situation and causing a personal injury accident. Kalamazoo officers are commonly tasked with doing ride-alongs with citizens who want to see what it's like as a Kalamazoo cop on patrol. Many officers hated to take ride-alongs, but I love to show off our department. One ride-along sticks in my mind as one of the funniest moments of my career. Well, it wasn't that funny at the time, but it was pretty ironic. Back in the middle 1990s, the city of Kalamazoo came up with an initiative called something like Reducing the Cost of Governmental Services. Many of these ideas came from city employees. Well, I had a ride-along from an insurance agent who was examining ways the city could save tax dollars in public safety. While on patrol, a large fight broke out at a nightclub known as Nancy's Place. The fight involved several people. Many officers were calling for backup because rocks and bottles were being thrown at the police. I was in a hurry to get on scene. At one intersection, I stopped and looked to the north for oncoming traffic. I saw nothing coming. However, a large consumer's energy truck was parked in the street and blocking my view. As I pulled out, I smashed into the side of a passing car and caused the other car to flip over sideways into the intersection, adding total panic to an already out-of-control situation. Right after I hit the car, I looked at my ride-along to see if he was okay. I said, Well, there's one thing we can do to save money. How's that? He said as he brushed the glass out of his hair. By not crashing into people, I said. I got a ticket for the accident, per our policy. Luckily for me, though, I fought the ticket in court and was found not responsible by the magistrate. Basically, I was responding to an emergency with emergency lights and siren activated, and due to the consumer's energy truck blocking my view, I was found not responsible. If I had been found responsible, though, I would have paid the fine. Failure to pay attention to detail. KDPS was no joke when it came to any inkling of potential dishonesty. And this was an excellent policy. Being fired for dishonesty in my book is perfectly acceptable. Unions may have something else to say about that, but for the most part, I'm sure many officers would agree that personal integrity is paramount. I fell victim to two such incidents by my own lack of attention to detail that were interpreted by the investigating command officer as being a form of dishonesty, when in fact, they were simple mistakes. Still, public safety officers are held to a higher standard than your average human being. I completely take responsibility for these two situations and hope that other officers who read this will learn from my mistakes. My first suspension was due to my questioning of a shift lieutenant and putting the wrong date for my grandfather's funeral on a memo. As the lieutenant was lecturing me about the disciplinary action I would be facing, It reminded me of a quote I recalled from the Army. "Don't confuse your rank with my authority." I had submitted a memo and a copy of the obituary to dispute sick time that was taken from my sick time bank. Well, on the first memo I submitted for time off, I had put the wrong date for the funeral. Then I contradicted myself on the second memo when I appealed the deduction of sick time to attend the funeral. The captain granted me the sick time, but it was my shift lieutenant who felt that my questioning was out of line. I was slapped with an accusation of lying to a command officer. The discipline resulted in a one-day suspension without pay. I guess they got their sick time back. I also wondered if the lieutenant felt they made the right decision by launching the accusation that I was being deceptive, when in fact the underlying theme to counter my appeal was that I was granted the sick time back from the captain. Regardless, I should have simply paid closer attention to detail. The second suspension came as a result of another clerical mistake. This time I was taking comp time when there really was no time to take off. This was a big one, a 15-day suspension, which is 1 month's pay. After several different interviews by internal affairs and a different line of interrogating, I just got so sick of it. I told the investigator, "Look, just fire me, but I'm not admitting to lying because I didn't lie." Needless to say, they must not have had enough to fire me, and they nailed me to the wall with a suspension and a transfer back to patrol from the community policing unit. I'm certainly not bitter about these situations, but I can see how an innocent person can be found responsible for something he or she did not do. Again, though, it was a failure to pay attention to detail on my part. There are always good things that come out of mistakes, and I try to find the positives rather than the negatives in my life and at work. In both situations, knowing that I was found guilty by the agency, I still didn't let this negative energy affect my work ethic. I continued to do my job at the same level that I always have, even after being wronged. I didn't throw my sucker in the dirt and pout like many have done. Instead, I just did my job as I was expected to do it. You see, in my mind, that is what they wanted me to do, to become a burden and a non-performer. Not a chance. Not Officer Todd, no way. Why? Because I'm a winner, not a loser. In time, the policy and procedures on how to take time off and the tracking of that system changed to make it virtually impossible for anyone to screw up and, for that matter, be wrongfully accused. So I would say that my situation paved the way for a better working environment and a better system than just a pen and a memo pad. In the end, though, my suggestion is to pay attention to detail. I could have easily avoided both situations had I paid closer attention to detail. I'm very proud to say that I was never disciplined for poor treatment of any citizen or in the performance of my duties as a public safety officer. My mistakes and discipline came from administrative errors on my part, not those affecting the general public and my community. I'll take that as a career victory any day. Always remember who you are and what you represent. Jeff Scholdeis, college professor. As I look back over my career, I think about the officers I worked with who were fired, investigated, disciplined, arrested, or who took their own lives. Believe it or not, police officers are simply human beings. We all have our own personal issues and complications. But when you add the fact that police officers are entrusted to ensure public safety, our level of personal conduct, both on and off duty, is seen through a more exact lens of moral and ethical expectations. However, as I revisit what these officers did, I can see a pattern of behavior or a trend that may have played a role in their less than professional decisions. The interesting thing about the law enforcement profession is that it is a glorified career and one that carries with it a higher level of responsibility and expectations that revolve around trust. My intent is that as you read what these officers did, you can learn from them and monitor your own personal conduct to avoid bringing embarrassment to the law enforcement profession. Remember, you represent the communities you serve. A dispatcher sees an alert for a recovered crossbow from another agency. The information came to him from the LEAN system, Law Enforcement Information Network. He then makes contact with the original agency, reporting falsely that he was the owner of the crossbow in question, and attempts to gain possession of the item. An officer uses department memo paper to write down his name and personal phone number to give to a prostitute with the intent to purchase crack cocaine and sexual acts. This same memo is later found in the prostitute's personal property when she's arrested on an unrelated prostitution charge. An investigation reveals this officer is a drug user and prostitution offender. A command officer flees from the department when he is questioned about having keys to the evidence room and is suspected of stealing drugs. He is pursued by other officers and arrested. This same officer was also a suspect in pimping out prostitutes and providing them with crack cocaine. An officer who is working in dispatch takes a non-criminal complaint from a citizen who wants to turn in a handgun he found. When the officer is finished working dispatch, he responds to the address of the person who originally called police to report the found gun, and the officer takes the weapon. The problem is the officer does not complete the investigation and decides to keep the weapon for himself. Months later, the reporting citizen contacts public safety in an effort to retrieve the found gun, but it's nowhere to be found in evidence. An investigation reveals the officer never turned in the weapon, but kept it. A retired firefighter is arrested and charged with drunk driving and multiple other offenses. The retiree kills himself by gunshot in a field behind his home. An officer is facing criminal sexual assault charges and takes his own life in the basement of the police station. Officers are arrested for drunk driving while off duty. An officer falsifies the comp time tracking book and then submits for comp time that never existed in the form of additional pay. An officer is disciplined for lying during courtroom testimony. An officer lies about working overtime to gain more pay. A new hire is fired shortly after he is hired for lying on his employment application about his driving record. An officer lies about breaking department property and is fired. A firefighter is fired for smoking marijuana while on duty. An officer is fired, resigned, for failing to take a drug test when ordered. An officer is fired and charged criminally for purchasing drugs from undercover officers. I listed just a few examples of actual events that took place while I was employed with Kalamazoo Public Safety. I know there are many, many more incidents where officers were disciplined, fired, and charged criminally for the acts they committed. It is not my intent to bring embarrassment to our profession, since these incidents and many more are publicly known, and you can easily research similar incidents on your own. My intent is to get a point across to my fellow officers and those who aspire to become police officers. Do you see a pattern? Drugs? Alcohol? Money or financial or personal gain? Sex? Lying? When or if you find yourself considering acts that are criminal or unethical in nature, simply don't do it. But if you cannot control these evil thoughts, then please, for the sake of our profession, please resign. In the end, you will be caught, and your life will be ruined. I applaud our Office of Professional Standards and am comforted to know that within our agency, there is a network of officers who police the agency. Our community deserves the best public servants our society has to offer.